This morning, as we celebrate the new year, I want to just basically wish you a happy new year. There are some things that you can do and some things that we can talk about this morning that will help us have a happy new year. And I want to share two or three of those things with you this morning. Some things that we want to think about, some things that we can do to have a happy new year. And the first thing that we can do this morning is to look back with gratitude. You know, in order to be happy about the coming year, perhaps one of the first things we want to do is look back over the past year and do so with gratitude. If you have a copy of the Bible with you, look with me in Psalm 9 at verse 1. We're just going to get started here, and then we'll move on to some other verses along the way. But look with me in the 9th Psalm at that very first verse there. In Psalm 9 at verse 1, the psalmist says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all thy wonders. Now, that's the New American Standard Version that translates that last word, wonders, all of the things that you do that amaze us. I think the NIV uses the word deeds. And what it means is, he says, I'll give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, and I'm going to make sure and tell people about the good things that you have done. One of the great ways that we can worship the Lord, that we can serve Him, that we can praise Him, is to tell other people about the great things He has done. That's how we glorify God. We bring Him glory when we point people's attention to Him, when we make sure that people recognize the things that He has done. And so, in following the psalmist's example, I want us to do that for just a few minutes together this morning. Look back over the past year with gratitude and talk to other folks, talk to each other about the good things that God has done in 2016. And you can do that in terms of our community, in terms of our church. You can do that in terms of your own family. And then as you look back over the past year, you can do that in terms of yourself. What ways has God blessed you that you can tell folks about? For example, we could talk together about some of the great ways that God has blessed our community in this past year. And really, there's a huge list. It's really too numerous for us to take time during a Sunday morning message. But just think about the ways that God has blessed our community this past year. We were able to dedicate and move into a brand new high school and middle school. And it is state-of-the-art. It's a beautiful facility. And our kids are going to be able to have excellent education in that facility for decades to come. Look at the success of our athletic program particularly the high school. Almost every athletic program was successful this year in a major way, not the least of which baseball team winning back-to-back state championships, softball team winning a state championship. It was an exciting year for us to look back and see how West was represented outside of West in those meaningful ways. We can look back and we can be grateful for the leadership of the West Texas Foundation. You may not even be aware of some of the work that they've been doing, but the West Texas Foundation set up some new committees, new groups of folks in our community. And there's five or six different groups now that are working together toward specific goals that have already begun to improve our community. And there are some folks who are working on helping us communicate better. There are some folks who are working on economic development. There are some folks who were working on the park, the city park out there. There were some folks who were working on promoting events cleaning up and kind of revitalizing downtown. There are a number of groups who are working hard and making great progress, and all of that came to happen in this past year. Speaking of the park, we're so glad that we have basically completed the work that was necessary out there, and the city park is beautiful. If you haven't been to the park yet, you need to go by, if for no other reason, just to be able to look at it and say, thank you, God, for bringing us this far. It's an exciting thing to see, and you want to do that. We have finally finished all of the major steps in recovery as far as the physical recovery is concerned. The repairs and renovations and all that, it's all basically been done. The last big piece was the streets and infrastructure. That has to be last, obviously, because as the trucks come and go to do all of the other work, they're going to keep tearing up the streets. And so we had to get all the other stuff done, and it's done. And now in this year, we completed the FEMA portion of the street repairs and the infrastructure, and all of that is done. We even were able to celebrate that with a wonderful ceremony downtown in the middle of one of those streets. And, you know, the dignitaries came from D.C. and from Austin, and we celebrated that we have finally completed the work that needed to be done there. And so we're grateful to be able to say that we have finally come to this point in our recovery together. Our community passed the economic development plan. It's going to start setting aside money for our future, and that's going to be an investment in future generations that is going to make our community stronger. We got some really good and positive publicity for our community through the TV documentary about the work being done through the school district. We got some really good publicity for our community in recent magazine articles and in blog posts, and folks are seeing West as a great place to visit and a great place to live. This has been a good year for us in a lot of ways. So as a community, we want to look back with gratitude. But you know, as we look back over 2016, we can look back with gratitude as a church as well. Think about some of the great things that God has done in our church in 2016. The river baptism was the single event in which we baptized more people than any other single event in recorded history of our church. And that's exciting. That's a great experience for us. We've had tremendous growth, so much so that on most Sundays, it's a little bit difficult to find spot to sit. You've got to kind of work at it a little bit on most Sundays. The growth is exciting as we see more and more folks coming. We were blessed in 2016 to see a strong choir back in the loft at Christmas time. And the choir loft was full. And that's an exciting move forward. We established a new program in 2016 that we're calling the Yoke Fellows Program. And that is a means by which there are some young men who appear to have the gifts and the character, the call of God to serve the church in a special way. And so we think those folks may eventually be called to the deacon ministry. And so in order to prepare them for that, we take a year, and those guys are called Yoke Fellows. We pair them with current deacons. They work together for a year. At the end of that year, they're able to say, I think God's calling me to this, or we're able to say, we think God may be calling you to this. And then we move on into a deacon ordination, perhaps. And so that's an exciting move forward for us, an exciting ministry that God has led us to. We initiated digital giving, which increased tremendously our ability to be good stewards. What we figured out was that, you know, we were still passing the plate, and you have the offering, the envelope. Well, in order to use the envelope and the plate, you got to have a checkbook. So you can write your check and put it in the plate. A lot of people don't carry checkbooks anymore. Many people don't even carry cash anymore. And so the plate comes by, they have no way that they can give and that they can participate in worshiping God through giving. And so when we initiated digital giving, what we did was allow more people the opportunity to worship Him in a meaningful way. And so now you can give through our website. You can give just by texting a dollar amount to the number that's printed in your worship folder. You can stop at the kiosk in the hallway and swipe a credit card or a debit card. And now we've seen a tremendous increase in those who are able to participate. This year we called on a full-time executive pastor, which is a move forward for us, a change in the way we're doing staff. And Todd has come on and made a tremendous impact in the work that we're able to accomplish together. We went through another 40-day campaign, and I think this one may have impacted many of us in a very deep level, a personal level, perhaps more than some of the other campaigns that we've done together. Miracle of Mercy helped us become more merciful toward one another and to recognize what mercy looks like as we share that with each other. We had a very successful ministry fair as folks got to go around and see all the different ministries and opportunities the church is involved in, and they were able to find ways to connect there. We've changed some of the ways that we stay in touch with our guests, and that's been very effective. That's made a big difference for us. In missions, we were able to go to Honduras this year, and in the village with whom we work, Santa Elena, we were able to worship with those folks for the very first time in all of history to worship inside a church building. And we were there at that moment. We got to celebrate the Lord's Supper with them and to have communion inside a dedicated church for the first time. And that was a beautiful experience for us. We even received an award this year. Our church received an award from the Texas Baptist Missions Foundation. We received an award for innovations in missions, primarily for the work that we were able to do together during the time of recovery after the explosion. We've had one for years now. We've had one primary obstacle to our growth. We had one main problem that was keeping us from growing. You know what that has been the last few years? No place to park. We added a new parking lot this year, and folks are using it regularly, and I think that's one of the main reasons that we have seen an increase in worship, because folks can comfortably come and find a spot to park and feel good about coming into worship. And so we're grateful for all of the things that God has done in 2016 as we look back. As a community and as a church, we can do so with gratitude. Now, I want to encourage you to focus that in a little bit. Instead of the community, the church, now look at your family and look back over this year and do so with gratitude. Look for the blessings. Look for the ways in which God has cared for you and brought you through. And then narrow it even more. What has God taught you as an individual in 2016? Look back with gratitude and say, even though I had to go through that valley, I didn't go through the valley alone. When I was on top of the mountain, God was with me. When I was in the valley, He was there. Look back in 2016 and be able to find those reasons to be grateful for what God has done this past year. So that's one thing we can do, is we can look back with gratitude. The second thing we can do is look forward with hope. We can look forward with hope. As we look into the new year, what's going to happen this year as a community, as a church, as a family, and as an individual? In Psalm 143, he says, "Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you." Now look at that. He says, "Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning." In other words, there's a new day dawning. It's coming up. Now, which morning is he talking about? He's talking about every morning. You know, when we say, this is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. What day is he talking about? He's talking about every day. Every day we wake up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. In a similar way, when he says, let me hear your loving kindness in the morning. He's talking about every day, every morning, coming soon. He's looking forward with hope. Why can he look forward with hope? Well, the next statement, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk. For to you I lift up my soul. He says, I'm looking forward to what's coming next. And I can do that because I trust in you. As a community, we have a lot to look forward to in 2017. We're going to be able to finally get the new well on the north side of town. Once that is done, we're going to be able to get rid of that old eyesore, the old well that's just kind of hanging out. We can't do that till we get the new one ready. And that's going to happen in 2017. There's a lot of discussions that will take place in 2017 about new assisted living facilities or new retirement apartments. Those conversations have already begun, and those conversations will develop in 2017. There are plans that are going to be made that are going to help us bring more businesses into town. That's our focus, and that's what's going to happen in the year to come. We have a lot to look forward to in the year to come. In our church, we have a lot to look forward to in 2017. One thing that I'm hoping we can accomplish is I want us to get folks to volunteer as ushers and greeters. And we want to do some real training and thinking and organizing in ushers and greeters about how we can make folks feel welcome and excited the moment they walk in the door, help them feel comfortable so they know where to go and where to sit and what to do. And we want folks to find this place a place where they feel like home. That's going to be a major emphasis for us in the coming year. And you may be interested in helping us with that. Starting next Sunday, we're going to start a new series called The One Another's. And in The One Another's, we're going to learn, as we start the new year together, we're going to learn how do we treat one another in church? How do we live with one another? How do we think of one another? And the Bible has so many one another commandments that we're not even going to take time to look at all of them. But there's love one another, edify one another, encourage one another, serve one another. They're all in there. And we're going to look at a lot of them through January and February. We're also going to increase our look at small groups. We're going to be able to, in 2017, we're going to be able to organize small groups in a way that there is an easy entrance into a small group. How do I get started with this? You're going to find that there's an easy way to do that. And once we have the small groups well organized, the leaders are going to receive the training they need to be able to keep things moving smoothly. We're going to increase our communication so that our small groups, our life groups, are going to become very, very meaningful and powerful part of our church. We're going to be able to continue some more improvements to the building itself that need to take place. We're going to start talking and watching for the timing in our discussion about going to two services. I have not just announced that we're going to two services in 2017. We're going to be able in 2017 to have serious conversations and talk about, is this what we're ready to do? How do we make it happen? Because the reason we need to have that discussion is when you fill a room to 80% capacity, folks stop coming. It's uncomfortable. And so once you get over 80% capacity, you need to have the next plan, the next step, so folks can continue to come, so we can continue to reach them. So let me just go ahead and say this to you. As we have these conversations about how we're going to grow, we need to remember that our goal is not the comfort of those of us who are here as much as it is how do we reach those who have not yet come. We need to keep that in mind as we move forward through 2017. All right? We're also going to be able to bring together and hopefully finalize some real plans for a family life center that is also going to help us reach our community. I see a family life center that has basically, it's a multi-purpose facility, basically a gymnasium where we can the kids can play basketball and run and maybe even roller skate and stuff like that. And we're going to have a lot of recreational opportunities. But if we do it right, it can also be more fellowship space. So the ladies' Christmas brunch has plenty of room to everybody be in one spot instead of spread around in different rooms. And we'll have perhaps more worship space. There is the possibility that we could use that as a secondary worship venue. We'd hopefully surround it with some rooms that would give us more education space so we could increase our Bible study times on Sunday mornings. So there's a lot for us to talk about, a lot of exciting things coming in 2017. And the one that is my personal priority that I've already started working on, and I'm going to continue to work hard to see if we can make something come together in a meaningful way. When school starts in 2017, in the fall of 2017, I hope that we can have in place a program in which First Baptist Church has basically adopted West Elementary. And through that relationship, I'm hoping that you and I can, on a regular basis, help kids learn to read more effectively. Our reading scores are not where we know they can be, and that might be a way that our church could step in and help our kids, help our community. Perhaps we could take some time to sit down with a kid, read to them, help them learn to read, increase their self-esteem so that they feel comfortable about reading, and see where we could go with that. I'm excited about that opportunity. We're also going to be talking a lot about missions in 2017. And as we do that, we're not only going to talk about Honduras, but what's next? There's a chance that we might need to start a conversation about work that could be done in Alaska. There's a connection that we might be able to follow up on and do some more work in China. There's opportunities that we need to start talking about and praying about, and that's going to come together in 2017, and I'm excited about that. Many of you, most of you, were able to take pictures headed toward a new directory. We're going to be able to bring that to you here very soon at the beginning of 2017. We had many weeks, so you had a lot of opportunity just to get your pictures made, and so now we're going to bring all those pictures together, put it into a directory, and we'll have that soon. Another thing that we're going to be able to do in 2017 is to continue to build relationships with other communities who go through disasters. As other disasters happen, we're able to go as a church and say, we've been there. And because we've been there, we want to help. And we've already started some of those relationships. We're going to continue to do that. As a matter of fact, we have the opportunity in just a couple of weeks, I'm going to be able to speak to a national conference of disaster relief teams. Baptist disaster relief teams from around the nation are going to come together, and I'm going to be able to tell them our story and hopefully build some connections there that will help us continue to work through those disaster recovery teams in other places. So there's how we're looking forward with hope for the community, for the church. What about your family? What are you looking forward to in 2017? What are you hoping for? We don't want to just kind of click through another day, another day, another day. Here's a new year. What does it hold for your family? Think about it. Plan for it. Be intentional about making your hopes come together in 2017. And then for yourself, what can 2017 hold for you that will make it a better year than 2016? We look forward with hope. And then the last two are real quick. We're going to look up with faith. We look back with gratitude, look forward with hope, look up with faith. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, sorrow looks back, worry looks around, but faith looks up. In Isaiah 40, it says, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each one by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Just look up at night and see all the stars, all the planets and the heavenly bodies that are up there, and think, who could put all that together and hold them in place, make sure they stay on their correct path? Who could do all that? The very same God who loves you and can direct your path and hold you together as well. Look up with faith. And then finally, in order to have a happy new year, we're going to look back with gratitude, look forward with hope, look up with faith, and then look around with compassion. You say, how is that going to make me happy if I have to look around at others and have compassion? That is one of the great secrets of life that this world is not going to tell you. The world tells you, take care of yourself, reward yourself, be patient with yourself, love yourself. All that's fine. It's just not the priority that really brings happiness. What really brings happiness is when we learn to think about others before ourselves. Colossians says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. See, we naturally think of ourselves first. So Scripture tells us to think of others, to have compassion on those around us. The reason we want to do that is because it helps them, but it also helps us. In Philippians 2 and 3, the address at the bottom of this is wrong. It's Philippians 2 and 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. You know, I've never met a selfish person who is consistently happy. Never. I have met many people who are compassionate, servant-minded, servant attitude, who think of others, who have found real, lasting, consistent joy in life. One of the secrets of life is if you always think about yourself, you never get happy because you always think you deserve something more. You always think somebody's doing you wrong. You always get your feelings hurt because you're only thinking about your feelings. When you start thinking about others, serving them, a joy you did not expect becomes a part of your experience, your reality, and life is all of a sudden a whole lot better. You want to have a happy new year? Look back and say thank you. Look forward with a sense of hope. Look up with faith and look around with compassion. Father, we thank you for the opportunity today to kind of begin again. It's always an exciting time when we get to start anew, afresh. This day gives us that opportunity, and so we say thank you. God, thank you for the great blessings of the past year. We just touched on just a few of the highlights this morning. We could spend many, many hours talking about the great things that you've already done. And so we say thank you. Father, we look forward as well to what you're about to do. We can already see some hints of some exciting things that you have for us in the future. And so we want to say thank you for those. Help us, Lord, to look forward with great hope. Trust you each step along the way. And we do depend on you. We look up in faith, saying, this is not my life, but yours. Guide me, lead me, and I'll follow. Lord, we pray that you would give us the compassion of Christ to care about others more than ourselves. And as we do, we remember how Christ cared about us. Now, he loved us enough to die on the cross. He loved us enough to come back to life. He loved us enough to take care of us, to save us, to cleanse us. Because of that, we want to serve him. Help us this morning. to know what to do next is our prayer in Jesus' name.